Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Welcome back to the worst year ever.
Snap. That was very, very professional.
Going for the big swings here on Worst Year Ever. We are back, baby. I don't know.
How are you guys doing? How's everybody doing?
Okay.
Yeah. That's good. That's as well as anyone is these days. Yeah. I had an exciting day. I got up at 10, which is, Sophie will tell you, very
early. Brave.
And I got right to work composing a new version of the song, But Baby It's Cold Outside, starring Hitler and Ava Braun. Hitler takes the lady's role in that, which makes a lot of sense, because instead of being worried about what his family will say, he's worried about what the other members of the Nazi high command, who have turned him into a sex symbol and need him to be perpetually available to the German woman, what they'll say if he goes home.
Yeah.
And Robert, Ava's the one singing, But Hitler, It's Cold Outside.
Yeah, so I'm just so impressed. See all that you can accomplish when you wake up just a little bit earlier and you tap into those morning creativity juices.
Mm-hmm. Still haven't recorded those ads, Sophie. So
yeah.
There were priorities.
I mean, honestly, I accept. That seems fair.
Yeah. It's a fair trade-off.
Yeah.
Just let the advertisers know what you were up to, Robert. Yeah. Just let the sponsors know, hey, sorry.
I'm trying to see if anyone wants to buy my Hitler It's Cold Outside song.
Record that and then send that to them.
When our ad ops team messages me for the, I don't know, 50th time asking for an ad, I'll just say, listen, Robert was very busy, okay?
Yeah. Just play this intro to them.
Baby It's Cold Outside, but Hitler. And they'll be like,
and Ava Braun.
Right. They'll be like, fair.
Do I want the ending spoiled for me? Is this song, does it like go places?
Oh yeah. I mean, well, no, actually, Hitler leaves in order to plan further
for the
invasion of Poland. Okay. And Ava cries herself to sleep. It's a good song.
Yeah, like all good songs.
I think it's going to be the hit of next winter when I get it properly produced.
Collab, I think. Cody's always talking about producing music, so.
Oh, we
send
can
it,
collab.
Send it over. Send it over.
Maybe a new theme song for our show.
We'll postal service it.
That's exactly right. I've always wanted to be the postal service of reimagined Christmas songs featuring Hitler.
Hitler.
Yeah. Yeah, such
it's
great
a
hype.
Specific niche.
We will rise to.
They won't important. See us waving from such great Reichs. Come down now.
Oh boy.
Oh god.
Nine.
Is stuff happening? Is there news?
Nah.
Oh god, no. Okay, never. That's good. Why would you even ask that?
No, we're on our Ben Shapiro book club trajectory still.
We are. Can we talk about Joss Whedon for a second? I don't know. I have a really narrow thing I want to talk about, which is that like within the one of the things I think is frustrating is this need to when it comes out that somebody's done like shitty stuff, pretend that like you never liked their like there's this thing going on where now people are being like, oh, well, he wasn't that big a part of Buffy. Or, oh, well, he like... And it like there, it's this attempt because they're fans of the show he made and also they find his behavior unacceptable, which it is. They feel this need to be like, well, he wasn't like, you know, that much of this or that. Like, it's this idea that like if he turned out to be bad, he can't have actually been good at making content that I liked. And I think that's a misdirected impulse.
Interesting. I would just add to that. I think part of it is also that the one could like describe like the Whedon speak, you know, like the well that happened of it all.
Yes, yes.
And I feel like that it was fine for the time when he did it, and it caught on, and so everyone does it now in all the things.
Yeah.
And so that is also part of and that's part of also the backlash of like. He created this awful thing that's everywhere now.
Yeah.
Well, not be, like you can watch Firefly and there's Whedon speak in it, but it still fits the tone of the show.
Yeah.
As opposed to other works, I would say.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the things. I think there's this. this, because we've gotten so like exhausted from it, this tendency to be like, oh, it was always like, it's a horrible trend that he introduced, as opposed to like, well, he wrote some stuff that people liked and everybody copied him. It's like Bullet Time with The Matrix. Like, it's he really, like, Whedonspeak is like the verbal equivalent of Bullet Time, and that's why it became exhausting, because Hollywood is not very creative, and if they see something that works, they run that motherfucker into the ground as fast as they can.
Yeah, there's a reason it caught on, and there's a reason it got really bad.
Yeah, because it's the kind of thing that if Joss Whedon had always kind of stayed at the level of fame he was when Buffy was on, and the same thing of his shows, like he had a bunch of 1 and 2 season shows with little cult followings, I don't think anyone would have gotten exhausted by the way he wrote dialogue, but it ate everything. And it led to this kind of inability within Hollywood to have any kind of moment, like this thing that's constant in Marvel where like nothing gets to have any weight because you have to have like a crack every
I was going to say, yeah, it's very like it created this thing that, yeah, Marvel does specifically, but other things do generally, where you don't allow, you know, the emotion of a scene or literally like anything to sort of land.
Which is actually, again, I'm not even really a Whedon fan. I've never even watched Buffy, but it's not a thing that I think he actually did in most of his. I guess you could say with like his more like Avengers, but like, you know, within Firefly at least, and even like stuff like Dr. Horrible, he had the ability to have like a scene that was sad.
For sure.
And, like he didn't do the thing that people did when they started ripping off like kind of the way he wrote dialogue, which I find interesting.
Becomes a genre of itself.
Yeah.
People start to emulate it. It becomes its own thing, not unlike Wes Anderson type stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Or what's his name? The Nightmare Before Christmas guy, Tim Burton.
Yeah, Burton.
Yeah, Tim Burton.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff got Burtonified. Anyway, I think that, like, obviously his behavior's fucked up and horrible, but I find it interesting the way in which I think when it comes to, like, the stuff that people are now criticizing about his work, it's more just like, yeah, that's what happens when your shit's popular. It gets turned into something insufferable within about 4 years.
Yeah, especially when Disney buys it.
Yes, yes. Anyway, you guys want to do something fun
before
Disney buys our senses of humor?
I would love to.
You know, this has quickly become a highlight of my week that I look forward to. Is
talking about Ben Shapiro's?
Yeah, reading these books. And I'm going to be sad when it's over. I'll be honest.
I am too.
This is a little oasis in the sea. And
I think maybe what we could do when we finish this book is we could go back to True Allegiance, but find the Spanish translation, and we could all learn Spanish together in an attempt to read True Allegiance, like I did with the Aeneid in Latin when I was in high school.
That's
a good idea
for an app. Yeah. If any developers are listening, good idea
teaches Spanish.
Foreign language learning
program.
App.
Yeah.
Get on it. At least 3 people will download the app.
The 3 of us.
But we will not do ads for them.
And then I will travel to Chiapas and tell everyone I meet, take a bullet for you, babe, in Espanol.
I see no flaws with this plan.
Yeah. Download promo code Utopia.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the title of the short story we're about to read.
Excellent. That sounds good.
Yay.
I will say I will miss this. It is really entertaining. I don't think he realized how entertaining his writing is in the way that it is, obviously. Who writes bad things on purpose and then releases them. We'll
find
something.
You found a cult following, Ben. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You did it.
Where'd we leave off?
We haven't started. Yeah.
That's right.
I think you read the first sentence, but we can do that again.
So this is the final short story.
How many pages?
This collection of 3 short stories. It is 15 pages.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Similar, you know, it's same presentation, similar font, similar frequency of formatting issues with the indentation on paragraphs.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of similarities. As there have been through all of his writing. Despite the genre, despite the message, it's always kind of the same. Anyway.
Yeah. This is called Utopia. And as we discovered late last week, the very first sentence is in all caps. It is a quote. Somebody is screaming, all men are created equal.
Okay.
That's the first line.
That's bad, even though that's also a thing the Founding Fathers wrote in Ben Shapiro, Can't Stop Coming over the thought of John
him.
Adams, right?
Okay. His favorite musical is 1776, and I'm sad that
sounds
that
right.
That.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, it does have Mr. Feeny in it. Look, I actually have nothing against 1776.
Does it have Mr. Feeny in it?
Mr. Feeny is...
Who does Feeny play?
Oh, geez. One sec. I forget which one of them, but he's got a major role. Which, despite
guys
some problematic
things,
the fundamental problematic aspects. John Adams. He's John Adams.
Yeah. Wow.
Right. Yeah, like, obviously, the deification of the Founding Fathers is problematic, but just as a musical, pretty fun musical, Mr. Feeney's great in it.
All right, good for him.
Good, good to know.
Yeah. Also, still alive.
I just Googled that and found that out. Went, huh.
That's right.
Yep, William Daniels, Mr. Feeney, still alive.
He made
it
94 years young.
Good for you, man. On the Girl Meets World reboot. So again,
good
arranged.
That's good. It is nice to know that Mr. Feeney's still guiding their lives.
Yeah, helping children meet the world.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, we should probably.
I guess so.
Go beyond the first.
I'll check out 1776 at some point. I've never listened to it.
If you want to see Mr. Feeney sing some shit as John Adams, that's basically your only option, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, we needed a the John Adams HBO show. Needed more more show tunes in it.
We should have just had Mr.
More
Feeny.
Mr. Feeny. Mm-hmm. There we are.
All right.
Never going to get through these 15
All
pages.
Men are created equal is the first line. New paragraph formatting issue.
Excellent.
He had seen those words somewhere before. They were hazy in his memory. They were a dream only partially remembered after waking up with bright morning light hitting his eyes. Each day, he thought he came closer to remembering where he had seen them before, but then he would shake his head and keep moving with the teeming crowd, past the enormous archway emblazoned with those words, past the Ministry of Education. He knew what education was, this is a parenthetical. He knew what education was, but had no idea what a ministry was.
This is going to make me vomit.
Oh, he's trying to do a 1984, but again, is bad at everything.
Mm-hmm. The liberals are bad, blah.
Well, just and also, it's just bad. It's not very good. Very good writing.
Yeah.
Like I think if you compare, if you want to go, listener, grab your copy of 1984, and just kind of read the first page or two, how Orwell introduces the way in which their thoughts have been like limited. It's you know,
is it better?
It'll be a fun compare. It's better. Yes. Yeah. You might call it like a masterpiece as opposed to this, which is clunky and.
Derivative, ripping off
like the written like someone's bad script for a television show that they're trying to sell to HBO, which I'm sure Ben did.
Did you say HBO? Because that makes sense too.
Because I'm also a hack and a fraud.
Yeah, that's why.
That's how. Mm-hmm. What makes you qualified to? You know,
that's
judge.
HPO is Home Pox Office, and it's a company that infects you with smallpox at home,
depending on what show you watch. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It beams it into your blood.
Yeah. Shockingly, they've gotten $4 billion in venture capital funding. So look forward to that.
I think
they're going to make it. Yeah. Yeah. Coming soon to a home near you with your at-home.
They're using the gig economy to spread pox.
Give me the next sentence.
All right. We're in the second paragraph still. I'm gonna go back. What, like, because
we're like almost at an ad break.
The lovely thing about his writing is that he makes you want to stop in the middle of a sentence to
talk about what a bad sentence
it's how
it
we've
just
gotten
was.
So many episodes out of this.
Exactly. And he's done it again because we stopped in the middle of that sentence. So I'm going to start the sentence again. Which the sentence starts past the enormous archway emblazoned with those words, which is a great sentence. That's a clause, we call that. All right. Past the enormous archway emblazoned with those words, past the Ministry of Education. He knew what education was, but had no idea what a ministry was. Past the Ministry of Price Control.
Wait, was that... That's actually a thing. That's not you editorializing. Okay.
No, yeah, sorry. This is a parenthetical. That was a parenthetical. He knew what education was, but had no idea what ministry was. This is all separated from with semicolons. So continuing, past the Ministry of Price Control, parenthetical, he had no idea what price control was, semicolon. Past the Ministry of the Chancellor, parenthetical, everyone knew who the Chancellor was, period.
Oh, boy.
Who is he?
Well, I hope we find out, because we do not in this next sentence. Finally, he would shuffle to his workstation at the Ministry of Energy, where he would spend his day turning on and off a spigot. God.
Sounds inefficient.
Yeah. I mean, I think the purpose, the point he's making here is that, like, it's some socialist state where everybody has to have a job, but they don't have.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like a poor man's fucking Brazil. It's just like,
And Ben doesn't really want you to think too much about that bit, because if the point he's making is that, well, actually, there's not enough work that needs to be done for all of the people that there are doing jobs, then is the answer that people should have leisure time? Like, instead of inventing pointless jobs, maybe
there's another option there?
He's just trying to paint some disgusting version. You know, the things that they want people to believe socialism leads to. That's what this is going to be.
Because 1984, again, very chilling vision of a society that's completely controlled. Orwell does that by talking about the ways in which language is changed fundamentally to limit the ways people can think, the destruction of, like, concepts of the family, all these different things that make people feel inhuman when you get inside their heads. Ben's, one of the first things he focuses on is price controls. That's very funny to me. That, like, instead of the ways in which authoritarianism fundamentally restricts the concept of human thought, he's like, they're going to put price controls in.
That is very funny.
It's very funny.
Ugh, there's just so much so quick in this this text. So
it's dense. It's dense.
It's dense text.
It requires a lot of close reading. So we're on to the third paragraph, which in true Shapiro style is one sentence long. And it has a formatting issue with the indentation.
Of course.
Every time the light turned green, he turned on the spigot. New paragraph. Every time it turned red, he turned it off. Okay. New paragraph. And with each turn, he was happier. Ooh, all right.
Okay.
Getting into the mind of the...
Sounds better than a lot of people's jobs, to be honest.
Yeah, feeling happy and productive with the hard work you put in. He was an older member of the city. City is capitalized. But he didn't remember that. In fact, he had no idea how old he was. He just remembered coming into his spigot station each day, putting his ID card in the machine, removing it. Okay. Going back to his living space with its clean white walls and its fully stocked refrigeration system and its television reruns.
Nice.
No new content, sorry. Going to sleep, waking up again, another day older. Each morning, he knew, the spigot would need to be turned on and off. It was comforting. He had no family. There was a woman who came to his living space once a week for sexual relations on Tuesdays. She spent
with
exactly
that wet-ass
1 hour.
Pussy.
Oh, it's dry. Sorry. Wet means there's a medical issue, I'm told, from the author.
Also,
it's too moist.
1 hour is longer cumulatively than all of the sex Ben Shapiro has ever had.
Sure. You only needed to do it.
He's like, I don't know what.
Has, right?
And that's if you include cuddling.
100%.
Check out Ben's sex book on Behind the Bastards, wherever you get your podcasts.
Actually, that's a good place to point out we need a break for an ad.
Ooh, oh my God, we gotta go. We gotta find out. Yeah. Oh, spoiler, cliffhanger, sex coming up. More details on the sex. But probably not, actually, because I think he's done talking about it.
Oh, dang.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We're back, yes.
Oh,
we
we're
are back.
Back. Oh, we're back and
God,
we're horny.
You sure the fuck are. God.
Yeah.
So ooh, hot.
I can't even.
So hot for
get it together.
Finding out what happens next.
There was
ooh,
a woman
baby
who came to his living space, is what happened.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did. Once a week for sexual relations on Tuesdays. Just waiting for, like, more parentheticals, like, he didn't know what Tuesday was. All right. She spent exactly 1 hour. She was not beautiful and she was not ugly. She wore the blue uniform of the Ministry of Personal Needs. He did not know her name. Today was Tuesday, and he was happy.
This is so lazy.
Yeah, again, you know, just as a little, like, if you wanted to make this a good piece of fiction, maybe something to do would be, like, in the midst of this woman who's been, you know, made to look and feel as bland as possible by this government, he gets some sort of hint, catches a whiff of, you know, the scent of her hair or something about the way her skin feels that, like, leaves this brief yawning moment of horror at the fact that, like, something terrible is missing from his life. And then, of course, it's gone in another second as he returns his thoughts to the, you know, something that is
gives context to it,
makes,
too.
Makes it a story. Yeah, yeah, and, like, texture, you know, that helps you get into it, kind of.
Well, because yeah. stating this, well, he said, I was happy that day or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the most insight we get into, or his satisfaction at the work, yeah. sure. But, mm-hmm. like, you're not actually giving context for this world. I don't understand how this is affecting you anyway.
Yeah, and we don't, you know, the thing, he's going to wind up breaking free of this system. He has yeah. to, and there's going to be some sort of hackneyed bullshit. But it so, like, you want to give some sort of hint that, like, there's elements mm-hmm. of humanity,
exactly.
the irrepressible nature of the human soul that are trying to, like, slowly break through, and he had maybe sex, again, if Ben Shapiro had ever had a positive sexual encounter, I think a normal person would be like, oh, well, that might be a moment of, like, intimacy that they can't quite quash out every aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And he gets some ghost of something that's missing, and that mm-hmm. sets up that, like, he's going to break out of this system. I don't know. Again, if you were writing a story, you might do that.
Well, especially a short story where you yeah. don't have that much time.
I was yeah. going to say, like,
you really want to move on that stuff.
In my head, I'm, like, giving him the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, I'm sure that'll happen later a little bit, right? But, like,
no, but
there's no time. There's no time, Ben. You got
to
do it
not
now.
Not with his size 14 times New Roman print.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Three paragraphs on this page. They're
wow.
not long. All right, let's find out what else makes this fucker happy. He had no friends. He worked with others, and once every week, this is an awkward sentence. He worked with others, and once every week, four new people would come to his living space on Wednesdays. The five would play cards together. Then they would never see each other again. It was all in good fun, and it allowed him to always meet new people. Wednesdays were not as happy as Tuesdays, but they were happy. Yeah, our horny little protagonist.
This is so bad. This is bad.
Yeah. He's really hammering on how happy he is. And I'm going to tell you, Ben, I get it. All right. Tonight was a Thursday night. On Thursday nights, the members of the various ministries would come together for a nighttime stargazing. It happened on the well-manicured lawn of the Ministry of Culture. When he got to the lawn, there were already thousands of people milling about. He did not look for anyone he knew. He knew nobody. Nobody knew anybody. There were no cliques. There were just thousands of people happy to see one another. And he
Horrible.
Was happy, too. Yeah, it's awful, awful
what
stuff.
A nightmare.
Just, oh, it's okay, so bad.
What a comprehensively bleak vision Ben places of this.
God.
What's interesting
oh, no.
is he's still
People are
doing...
stargazing.
Like, yeah. He's still doing his thing where he just horrendously overuses the same word.
Yes. If you were a good writer, there's a way you could use kind of repetition of words
but
in something like this.
But that's not what he's doing.
Yeah, he's not because he's bad.
It's,
well, right.
it's just how he writes is my
point. Well, the intention is there. He's trying to like reuse the happy phrase, talk about how they're yeah. happy, but he's doing it every other fucking sentence.
Well, which
so it seems laborious to absorb.
I don't know if he's doing it on purpose.
I think he is.
As I start, you think he is? Okay.
I think he's doing this on purpose. It's oh. just his habit is to do it anyway within sentences. Mm-hmm. And so that thing that he does, that's like a regular thing that happens, is I think infecting our view of what he's doing now. But the problem with what he's doing now is that it's like every
executed.
Three sentences instead of within the same sentence. So it still seems like it's both poorly executed and maybe not on purpose. But I think it is. It's just he's not very good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, again, like, okay, like a couple of pages and then you, oh, but he's very happy. Like, you can get the rhythm going without it being so obvious what's going on. He's just not a subtle writer.
Also, there's other ways to play with repetition than simply repeating.
Yes, he can like, it's actually very funny because like you're so right that like he took the simple, like baby's first sentence. He's
exactly
happy. Like that emotion is such a simple emotion.
Yeah.
And there are more complex ways to describe it. While having that repetition
involved. I truly have written better short stories than these as a child.
There's an example here of just how limited Ben's imagination is. Because again, if we go back to 1984, by this point in 1984, where you're like a couple of pages in, you've been introduced to an entirely new language functionally, newspeak, and you feel, he doesn't tell you how it's limited Winston's ability to feel. You feel it because you as like within the book, he immediately like narrows the walls of perception around you by using that. Ben wants to do that, but all he can think of is just repeating that the person is happy and no other emotions, because to him that's the same thing, because he doesn't actually get what Orwell was really doing there.
Right.
And he's also not capable of imagining anything but like being in an authoritarian regime is like being drugged and you're just like this happy doped zombie, as opposed to what it really is, which is these kind, and what Orwell depicts, which is these kind of walls of fear and like reflexively stop you from thinking and acting in certain ways, because you're fundamentally a machine that exists to survive, and you've been trained by the regime that you just don't even begin to go down certain roads because of the danger. Again, Ben doesn't understand things.
Well,
so he doesn't get this.
I think over and over I come back to, he's just really lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know, lazy probably with his education, probably lazy with his reading and reading comprehension, but definitely lazy in how he's approached all of this. I get the sense from anything Ben does is that it has taken the bare surface level of thought, actually.
Yeah.
He can argue loud. He can argue and spin things around and be confusing and befuddle stuff, but he doesn't actually dig deeper than the surface. And that is reflected. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've already said this, but in all of these short stories and in all of his articles, in True Allegiance, all of it.
Yeah. I think it's most apparent in his fiction writing. It is everywhere. You're right.
Like, well, I mean, it's just seeped in his whole ideology.
Right.
It's, he screams as someone who just sits down and writes for 20 minutes and he's like, yeah, I did it. Worked today.
It's there's no depth to it. It's like he is sort of replacing, like, he thinks that like density equals depth.
Yeah.
And that's not true. and so he just,
I mean, this isn't particularly dense either.
No.
I mean, it's dense in ways that we can make fun of it, but
right. Yeah.
Anywho.
But it's like, I mean, like the volume.
Yeah.
The quantity of it. Like, there's so many aspects that he's sort of like replaced with, replaced thinking or about something like carefully, with anything else. But the important thing is he was happy too. The night was not too cold, nor was it too warm.
Oh, good.
The climate control system made sure of that. Mm. The people all sat in ordered rows with enough distance between them to ensure personal space.
Ben hates air conditioning and social distancing.
And personal space.
Hates personal space. Weirdly hates like that there are like seats in rows. Like how seating is.
Yeah, it's weird because it's this mix of like things that you, like any person should hate, like this
spigot stuff
regime.
Or like whatever. Like,
they have personal space. They're stargazing. Yeah.
Right.
There aren't clicks.
Like the people all sat in ordered rows. I can't believe they lined the seats up so that you can see.
The oppression
it's very
of
funny.
This society.
Yeah, it's so funny. And the stars. Wait.
All
right.
It makes me wonder what brings Ben joy in life. Is it just owning the libs?
Is he actually
happy and satisfied in a moment?
No,
it's owning the libs.
It's being
and,
a smug little bitch.
Yeah. that's certainly his chief love in life.
I think it is.
Yeah, it is. And getting those sweet likes, you know, instead of getting his I don't know, stories published or show put on TV or whatever.
Or his dick's up. Sorry.
You know. But the other important thing is the people all sat in ordered rows with enough distance between them to ensure personal space. And the stars, too, were in their orbits, their distances the same as always. Okay.
Will you read that sentence again?
Yeah. I'm going to read both sentences again. He's saying too, as in also, as in the, just like I just said in the previous sentence. So the people all sat in ordered rows with enough distance between them to ensure personal space. And the stars too were in their orbits, their distances the same as always.
Okay, but that's meaningless because people don't know that. Like it's one thing to say that, like, the temperature, which is the thing that changes all around naturally, like, has been, like, telling us that the world is climate controlled adds something. Pointing out that the stars are the same as they've ever been. Like, number one, how do you know? You don't even know. Do you know what stars are? Like, right, do they tell you what stars are? Fundamentally, do they let you know about the vastness of the universe outside of the
educated?
Earth?
Educated. You seem to have certain words and understanding of things.
Yeah.
For not
that aren't consistent
education.
With, like, a society as controlled as he's wanting to
present. So you would
present.
Have to... To know enough about the universe,
or
so
like
the
they control the sky, like maybe there's like it's like a maybe. Visual thing, and like this, like they're blocking out the sky with like their version of stars.
Yeah, is
so
that
not, I don't
maybe, but
stars move always, constantly. They're whizzing through space.
Yes,
that's but he means that. I mean, I'm just taking it as like the stars every night.
And
you know, like yeah, they and have their told, formations. Like, they keep their spacing from each other.
But also, just on a grammatical level, and the stars too were in their orbits. You didn't say people were in their orbits. You said they were in ordered rows.
Yeah, they're sitting,
which is very much not like a star.
Yeah,
not at all like a star.
He's using the stars too to refer to the distances being the same, but like that's not how he wrote it.
It's great.
It's not important, but whatever.
Because like you introduce the fact that the world is climate controlled. I have no other questions. I don't need to know how the climate control works. I don't need to know how they power it. Like, okay,
right. This
authority,
climate control,
you live in a bubble. Great. I get that. That's perfectly fine. No further explanation needed. That's world building. You mentioned this about the stars, and now we have all these questions because, again, every time Ben mentions something that's factual in any way, he's completely wrong. The stars aren't the same distance. All,
like
none of this
the
works.
The number one law of Ben Shapiro's writing.
Yeah. If he attempts to make a factual statement, it will be wrong. And it will be wrong in so many ways that
get
we
over
can spend minutes
ways.
Talking about it.
The mic thing
get
is
over
amazing.
I've thought of it several times lately. Like...
Well, it's wrong in like five different ways.
Yeah,
like, all the ways are easily discoverable.
Well, and it brings up, it does the thing you never want to do in science fiction, which is it brings up questions that take you out of the story. Like for me, I'm wondering now, like, well, okay, if this is really an authoritarian regime, like, why are they fine with people knowing about like the wonder and majesty of outer space? Why is that important to them? Because clearly if they're setting up stargazing, then that opens up the possibility that they're going to have some sense of like thought about the universe, thought potentially about like higher other forms of life or about like a deity, like all these things people think about when they look at the stars. And it could be one thing you could do world building if you talked about how he had been taught to view the stars, or like you guys said, maybe they've put their own false sheen over that isn't real stars, or like all this stuff that you could do that would it build the world around it. Like if you talk about the way they educated him to view stars, and that they taught him that stars all move in, you know, the same way that the people do in these perfectly ordered things, and as above, so below, or whatever. Maybe that could work if again you were a writer, but Ben has instead done nothing.
And now we're fucking talking about what this goddamn star thing means.
Yes. Yeah.
Honestly, if nothing else, this whole exercise has been a great lesson in how not to write.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Like
no,
a
if
lot
you're...
of people might listen to this and be like, hey, I feel like I could handle writing my own work because...
Mm-hmm. You should. If you think you can write a piece of fiction, let me tell
Ben
you, friend,
Shapiro.
You can. It'll
Absolutely
be better than Ben's.
You can. Yes, it will.
Have you gone into the world and experienced a thing like joy or even shame? Then you too could write a piece of fiction better than Ben Shapiro's.
Just beautiful. They go write, just like take this premise and write something better. Like go off into the world. Like I
think about a time that you felt something and then try to bring that to other people. Feelings. You know?
Imagine emotions.
Yeah.
It's
and again,
so,
that's
like,
the thing. Like Orwell in 1984 creates this very like soulless, horrific world, but you're never cut off from feelings of the characters. Like that's such an intense part. The way he writes this budding romance, the way like you get into these people's heads and like how they feel is why the story has impact. It's not
Absolutely.
Because Orwell lists out here are ways in which this is a bad government. It's because Orwell makes you feel what it's like to live in this horrific, inhuman regime.
Well, unfortunately, facts don't care about your feelings, and also the facts are wrong.
So also, the facts will inevitably be incorrect.
I tell you, if you're wondering about emotion, though, a big surprise coming, and it's corny, and we're
Hit
excited
me.
For it.
Hit me.
Do we
fuck
do we
me
want
up?
Do we want it? Do we want it now? All right.
Yes.
So, as we've discussed. And the stars, too, were in their orbits, their distances the same as always, like all stars. Except one star.
Uh-oh.
It shot across the sky, a bright flare in the velvety purple-black darkness, and he felt a disquietude move through him. His stomach rumbled, his mind turned over. The star blasted through the calm of the evening, leaving sparks in its wake. And suddenly, his hazy dream burst into consciousness. He found himself standing, tears rolling down his face, gazing up at the sky. A terrible longing filled him, a feeling of dread and of hope. A new feeling, an old feeling. The star tore the night apart, leaving day trailing behind it.
No,
wait,
Cody,
wait,
so
wait.
This is just, okay.
I need to, we need, hold on. Wait. No. Okay, you go.
No, I mean, it's just, this is, so that's all it took for him to snap
Well, so,
out
okay,
of the dream?
So I'll finish. So I'll
There's a lot going on there. Like, for example, again, why are they letting them watch the stars? Why is this like,
exactly,
has
that's
there
what I was
never
say.
Been a shooting star
if
before?
If it was that easy for him to be like, what? They wouldn't let you look at the fucking sky. Okay, Cody, finish the quote.
And why is it the one, yeah, we'll get into this. But a big break is coming. So the star tore the night apart, leaving day trailing behind it. When he looked around him, he saw thousands of eyes and thousands of faces staring at him blankly. The star hit the horizon. He turned and ran. And there's a break of text because time passes. So it's utterly ridiculous that this is the first shooting star that has apparently ever existed. And this
during
is the
their
first
nightly
person,
stargazing that the
they
government
do it every,
makes everyone
they do it every
do.
Fucking week. Every week, everybody gets together, looks at the sky, and this is the only time this has ever happened to one guy. It's this special boy syndrome.
Yes, it is.
Everyone's staring at him blankly. Why is he the one who is moved by this shooting star? He's the only one who feels anything. He's the only one who noticed it. Is there something special about him that sees this shooting star that
and
makes him
why
like,
do they
feel
all
these
notice
old
that
feelings?
He's different.
Right. Shouldn't they be staring,
why are they all
at,
staring
the
at, him? They're still
yeah,
at the sky?
Yeah, shouldn't they be incapable of noticing difference? And but also, like, again, to keep going back to 1984, when we get a glimpse of like what that society allows as a recreation, it's very fitting. Like it's these like horrific, dank little bars where people drink watered down beer and play the lottery, and it again builds it. You're never taken out wondering like, well, doesn't this provide an opportunity for X or Y? And you see that like they've got all these different like secret police agents in there that are looking for sedition, and it builds. It's just all very believable as opposed to immediately like, why would you let people look at the stars like this?
Exactly.
Why would you,
right. It's just like every step of the way, you're like, did you think of, because it's science fiction. If you're doing science fiction or like a dystopian fiction or something like that, that is like a huge part of it is that world building and trying to make it make sense.
It's everything.
You don't have these questions.
And
right?
Again,
like,
there's a way you could have built a shooting star. Had that be key to this? You could have it be not that there's like this dumb idea of community enforced like stargazing nights, but you have this idea that the government wants everyone to believe this is the way human society has always been. There was no before, there will be no after. And then one day on his way home from a late shift, he notices a shooting star in the sky. And he quite naturally believes that it's a star falling out of the sky, which suddenly sets off in him this chain of thoughts that, like, well, if the stars aren't permanent or beyond the control of the government or whatever, then, like, maybe, like, and you could, again,
and you
if
can
you
play
were a
with
writer.
What that experience was right. like. Yeah. This huge experience, this unraveling, this chain of thoughts. You can play with the sensations. You're not just...
Yeah.
Right, not again, this magical feeling things. Of
and
like...
And that way
this,
it would be explaining why the star was meaningful,
not
what it
poof.
Like, as opposed
it's
to like, it's pretty
now.
And so I now I'm healed. It's,
that's
again,
thing.
So lazy, so incurious, and like a child wrote it. We do have to take a quick break right now.
Yeah. You know who else is a child?
The companies to... paid money.
We are entirely supported by children. That's right, Cody.
Oh.
It's super cute.
Mm-hmm. Random kids. Cody, Katie, and I show up outside of schools with blackjacks and threaten children for their lunch money. Mm-hmm. And that's what keeps us on the air.
And that's what these ads will describe. Mm-hmm. But more entertaining. The people, like, they hire people to write the copy for it.
We don't ever get in trouble for this stuff, do we?
No, no. We've paid off all the cops.
That's right.
Welcome to the worst year ever.
We're back, and I think we can all agree that Ben Shapiro has never looked up at the night sky and felt awe. Would we
he's never felt
that?
Awe. Because, again, you can't really feel awe if you're convinced that you have every single answer that was ever meaningful you had handed to you when you were a small child. Awe is fundamentally, like, an acceptance of the unknown and wonderment at it.
And being told you're the special
bully. I feel like a regular thing that goes... through Ben's head is unimpressed.
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
Right, like,
because if he's not, if he's ever impressed,
get a job,
that
would mean star.
That whatever his dad taught him about the world when he was nine was not a complete. It was not everything he needed to know about life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, can't wait to find out what happens to this special man.
Special man, boy, sure.
So time has passed, and he ran. It wasn't until he hit the third street that he heard the humming. The sound of the Ministry of Protection did not ululate or waver. It was a steady, loud buzz, growing in intensity as it grew closer, fading into white noise at a distance. Now the buzz grew more intense as he ran. He could hear them approaching from his right and from his left. He sprinted forward. Ah, some Yang endorsement in this short story.
Oh, yes.
All right.
This is not a big deal, but also another lazy thing. Just the Ministry of Defense, the Ministry of Education. Just be more creative. Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah.
Just come up with something.
Yeah, again, like, Orwell, because he's a masterful writer, manages to create... manage to use words in such a way that enforces kind of the banality of this world while also being completely new to you, the reader, so that you're never bored. You know, newspeak, you feel the way it limits his thoughts, but it's also new to you as you're reading the book, and thus you're engaged.
Mm.
Because again, Orwell was a writer.
So you're not left incredibly bored because a writer did it. I see. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
The streets were not numbered or lettered. The people knew their living spaces by proximity from their workspaces, so there was no need for any distinguishing features.
Again, there's a way to make that entertaining. As he's walking to work the morning before things break out, you can describe his walk to work not the way a normal person would, as now I took a left, now I took a right, but like the distance it is from his home, because those are the, like, there's a way in which you
But what if he just explains it in one
what
sentence?
What if he just explains it rather than,
you know,
or that.
What if that happens
Of course,
instead.
That's how you do it.
They all looked the same, even beige buildings covered over with evenly trimmed ivy and evenly spaced balconies, one per living space.
They get
no
balconies?
More, no less. Yeah, they get nice evenly spaced balconies.
So
balcony
that you
world.
Can see those stars
that sounds
at night,
better
baby.
Than how he wants a lot of people to live. Very funny. They have balconies. Okay.
Yeah, they had balconies, and therefore, the people who lived inside those living spaces were happy with their standard-issue artificial flowers, their standard-measured televisions, and their carefully stocked ice boxes.
God. Hey.
Again, Ben, you have not yet made this sound markedly worse than life for millions of people under capitalism.
Yeah.
Like,
yep. At least they all have food.
Yeah. Yeah, they all have food. They have flowers. They have balconies.
Artificial flowers.
Honestly, artificial flowers are all the rage right now. I keep getting targeted ads for them because they don't die.
Do not give in.
Well, I mean,
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Okay.
Don't succumb to the dystopian left and their artificial flowers. Then go ahead. It's free country.
It's just remarkable to me that Orwell, a leftist so committed he got shot in the throat fighting fascists, imagines a better, clearly inspired by kind of left-wing movements, a more realistic authoritarian regime than Ben Shapiro, who's professionally terrified of the left, who can only make it seem slightly better than how a lot of people live today.
Yeah.
They get free stargazing nights every night. They can see the stars from where they live.
Evenly spaced balconies. You can watch the stars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sex days.
Unlike everyone in Los Angeles, the people in this world can sit on their balconies and watch the stars.
Like the idea of like being able to see the stars
distanced.
At all. Like,
social distance. We don't have to share people's germs.
Private space and whatnot. I don't know.
It's like a carefully stocked icebox.
Again, and if he actually wanted to make it unsettling in ways that were consistent with his beliefs, it would make more sense for them to have like no senses of public space. Like
also,
shouldn't it be like, because sex and physicality, like none of that matters at all, there's no differences between men and women, and so like everybody is just one physically entangled, like indistinguishable mass,
right? Instead of so atomized, like
random thought. Icebox, what is he, 1950s housewife?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
What a weird choice. Again, makes it like as if it's more Orwellian, written of a different time, but just the word icebox?
Yeah, just that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, again. Yeah.
And like,
not
like describe
British
like,
or something. I don't know if
feel
they
free
say
to
that.
Like, just, I think they probably do. I don't know.
But Ben's not British.
anyway. But also like, describe him doing this at home. Like, go to your, like, watch something on your standard measured television.
Yeah, what are they
and
watching
wish that
on
it was
those
bigger.
TVs? Yeah.
Like, just wish reruns. The show was more interesting. Go to your carefully stocked icebox and have, like, your taste is, I don't know, like, just whatever.
Yeah, tell us what's, because right now I'm just imagining, like, oh, so they've got, like, Netflix and as much food as they need. It's like,
right.
No, well, okay,
what
I'm imagining it. I'm
is,
sure
does
Ben
the
means.
Food suck? Is it
they've
boring?
Got some
like,
horrible government, you know, TV and, like, the food is all bland and not nutritious, but, like, we don't get any of that, so.
We have
it
to
just
assume
kind of
because
sounds like nobody's starving and everyone has a balcony and a television.
Well, right, because he's operating from this sort of like this his whole punditry, like I'm this right-leaning, like conservative libertarian, I guess. And so his audience assumes these things because they know the author. Like, I know Ben wrote this, therefore I bet it's like really bad food and like boring, bad television. Like, it's all stuff that we have to assume because we know the writer instead of the writer doing a good job.
I think there's actually something more insidious than that here, because I think the thing that is supposed to be horrifying about this more than anything, this is, again, a good example of like where he's different than the guy he's trying to emulate. With Orwell, the thing that was frightening was the limitations on the human ability to conceive of things, to even think about liberation,
yes,
to even think like independent, like the way in which shutters were placed upon the human mind and thus the confines of the human soul was the central horror of 1984, and Orwell very ably depicts that. The horror with Ben is that nobody gets to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really what's going on here, is that there's no rich people. He's not horrified. Like, he's not presenting the day-to-day life of these people is particularly a nightmare. The thing that he keeps going back to is that nobody has more. Nobody has a bigger apartment. Everybody gets a balcony. There's not, like... Everybody
there's not
TV.
Super
like,
balconies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah like yeah. That's the thing he's frightened, that's scary to him, is that like nobody's rich in this society. And it's very telling that like the difference between 1984, a masterpiece, and what's frightening about it, and what Ben clearly thinks is frightening, which is there's no rich people.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You got you hit the nail on the head, Robert.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I think you're
right.
Again, just incredible writing when you have to stop and just like question every single sentence. But now they were opening their regulation compliant double pane windows to watch him run. Oh no. Double
Why
pane
is the
windows.
Double pane emphasized?
because of fucking Obama, like, probably.
It's because,
right?
Of like EP energy policy shit.
Exactly.
Again, we go from like 1984.
What's the problem with it? Isn't that good?
That's the thing. Like Ben finds like mandatory double pane windows for energy efficiency just as horrifying as a regime that annihilates the ability of human beings to engage in physical intimacy. The elimination of history is as frightening to Ben as requiring energy efficient windows.
It's very funny. What an incredible dystopian short story. But now they were opening their regulation compliant double pane windows to watch him run. The horror of the double pane windows. Unbelievable. He could feel the cement pound beneath his rubber soles.
That's not right.
That's not correct.
He could feel his feet.
He could feel his feet
cement,
pound
maybe.
Against
like,
the cement.
Be,
yeah,
okay. Yeah.
The cement's not pounding.
Cement.
He could feel the cement pound beneath his rubber soles. All right. His breath started to give out. It's an awkward sentence. So, like this. Yeah. Okay. He could feel the cement pound beneath his rubber soles. Semicolon. His breath started to give out. He breathed
great.
In and out,
great.
In dash and dash out.
Great.
Which I don't think that's...
This is bad.
That's... Mm-hmm. He breathed in and out, Burger, trying to find a regularity, anything regular to hold on to, trying not to panic. Too many regulars and regularity, and regulation was earlier in this paragraph? Come
it's
on.
Bad.
Man.
It's just bad.
Anything regular to hold on to. He's just running down the street. All right. And the sirens hummed closer. Then he saw them in the reflection of the large mirrored glass panes of the Ministry of Food Provision. The cube-shaped enforcement pods were rolling down the street after him, gaining rapidly.
Oh,
this
God,
is unimportant. It's very silly that there are enforcement pods. I would posit that it's sillier that they're cube-shaped
Absolutely.
Pods.
Well, I think I know what he's doing there. I'm trying to remember the name of the show.
It's The Prisoner.
It's The Prisoner, right?
Those were bubbles.
Yeah, the bubbles that come in.
You could
yeah.
call those pods. I don't think you can call a cube a pod.
You can call
well,
it.
Well, no, I don't think that's right, but I think he's literally just doing... He's,
oh, no, he absolutely is just doing
like,
The Prisoner,
I don't even
yes.
think he watched The Prisoner. I think someone described it to him, and he decided to do what he
yeah,
thought
no,
was an
he,
homage
he absorbed
to a thing he'd
that,
seen,
yeah, it's through, like, cultural osmosis, right? We're like, oh, yeah. I know the image of the guy with a number on his chest, and
yeah,
the,
exactly.
the bubble comes after
yeah.
him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there, yeah, there. I mean, a lot of things silly about this. I shouldn't harp on the cube-shaped pod, but...
No, but it's just,
but
I don't know, it's very funny.
And it's just like, it's such a, there's a UCB sketch from the Upper Citizens Brigade sketch show they did for like 3 seasons. And there's a sketch where it's clearly L. Ron Hubbard, like an analog reading his sci-fi book that's like trying to get people to do a cult. And it's like terrible sci-fi. And every word is like, he put on his vision goggles to eat his nutrition food. And I like, it's such bad sci-fi writing and I can't. Think
it's
of anything but that
like.
Every single time he'd like capitalizes something
Absolutely.
Important or something. Anyway, the enforcement pods are after him. In the sure. lead pod, capital P, he could see the slack-jawed face of a slightly bored enforcer, capital E, who leaned forward and pushed a button. Suddenly, the pod jumped as though spurred with a cattle prod, bucked, and leapt toward him. The distance shrank. 1 block. His feet were giving way. Now half a block. The pod loudspeaker opened up with that pulsating rhythm. He'd heard the rhythm once before. Shouldn't say rhythm again. He'd heard the rhythm once before. You'd only seen... God. He'd heard the rhythm once before. He'd only seen one enforcement action before. It had been
this
a young
so bad.
Girl ready
Wait a minute,
for...
Didn't he hear it... Okay, sorry, keep going.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry for letting his writing trip me up in trying to read this out loud. He'd heard the rhythm once before. He'd only seen one enforcement action before. It had been a young girl ready for recruitment to the Ministry of Personal Needs. She had
so
run.
So his, his word repetition now has stopped being purposeful and has just
this is just not very good.
I feel like I need to point that out
It's also funny to me that like one thing I'm sure that Ben finds horrifying about 1984, or at least the television version of 1984 that I'm sure is what he's watched rather than reading the book, is that there's no distinction between men and women in their society, right? As a desire to kind of excise from humanity the capacity to form families and fall in love because it's a threat to the state. Ben still has a very clear separation. Men do some sort of job and women are just there for sex. It's just very revealing about Ben.
It's consistent. No, it's consistent and good. And it says nothing about Ben.
Is this a good place to wrap it up? Or
I was gonna say I'm actually like frustrated reading this now, and I think we need to take a week break and come back to it.
I think we do too. I feel like that's the general vibe.
Oh God,
here
we do talk about the news.
I mean a week break in like real time, in that in meaning in a week we'll come back to this.
Oh, okay,
bullshit.
We'll still come back. Thank
oh,
God.
Oh yeah. No, we have to find out what happens. I can't read this out loud anymore.
We're done today. You know, we've got to digest what we've learned.
We will finish now.
We
got to
process our trauma. And
my request for all of you in this next week, because we only have maybe one more week of going over Ben's storybook.
Maybe
break
two.
Break into his house.
It's really bad.
We'll
find
see.
Where he lives. Break into his home. Steal his hard drive. There's got to be a file on there. That's,
we need
that's
more
just short stories or scripts. Yes. You know, bring them to us.
There's other people we could read. There's other people's work we could celebrate. Anyway,
yeah, but
not as good as this. Not as tasty as
there's
this.
There's something special and tasty about this. He is a special boy.
Mm-hmm. He sure is.
All right, guys. Check us out online at Worst Year Pod. We'll be back next week. Keeping it classy.
Worst Year Enforcement Pod.
Yep.
Cube shaped. Because he didn't want to do spheres, because that's from The Prisoner, and he couldn't do it the same way.
Yeah. It's extremely funny.
He just knew he was ripping off The Prisoner.
And there's no way he's watched The Prisoner. He can't have.
Of course
like,
not.
I can't imagine
I
Ben
how,
Shapiro
is cube,
sitting
is
down and
cube
watching
on,
that show.
Is this cube floating, or is this cube on wheels? If so,
it's got to
it
be
like,
floating.
It's
if it's on
floating.
Wheels, that's very funny.
But like,
no,
floating,
no.
Floating cubes is such a funny image.
Well,
to
so
me.
Here's the thing, and we'll okay. We're the episode's not over yet. All right. So, in the sentence that introduces these enforcement pods, in addition to the other things we talked about, the cube-shaped enforcement pods were rolling down the street after him, gaining rapidly. They were rolling down the street. And
so
the cubes, so
they can't
roll unless they're on wheels. So the I'm pretty sure the cube pods have
are
wheels.
Cars? Isn't that
I,
not?
I think they're just cars.
I mean, like.
Yeah, they're Cybertrucks.
Okay, I'm glad that we cleared this up. Because obviously a sphere can roll down in different ways or float or however you want to get it.
Yeah, but a cube can't.
I mean, not
it needs wheels to roll.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so glad we cleared that.
I hope they're rollerblades.
Oh,
I they're
yeah.
Not.
I bet they're
all right.
Not.
All right. The episode's we'll actually over now.
Yeah. Now we're done.
Bye. Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb. And it's going to get dumber. Great.
I tried. Yes. Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.